Cool. So yeah, we'll start. Oh yeah, I'll just share a little bit about the rest of the call as well, if that's cool, Sarah. But thank you. Yeah. In a moment, I want to invite you and Jackson to share a little bit about the intermediate program and how you found it. And then I think I'd like to just invite a conversation afterwards around like anything that's come up from what they've shared or around crewing, around leadership, where you're at. It's really interesting hearing you're part of the like one of the more involved organizers of Borderland coming up in Sweden this year. Maybe something that you want to bring in around that. I know you're hosting things at Elk and Mist at the moment, and also talking about summer camp. Yeah, maybe Mattia, I don't know your background at all yet, so if there's anything you want to hop in with following that these shares as well, feel free. If we have some time after that, I have some prompts around dyads as well. But we'll see if we get to that. But yeah, for now, I just want to welcome you, Sarah and Jackson, just to kick off the call with a little share. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, thanks, Jocelyn, for the invitation. So, yeah, I participated in the intermediate practice program, which was 4 sessions. I unfortunately missed the second one. The first one was, I think, just like taking a step back and like thinking about, yeah, so what exactly is a crew? And Jonas used this image of people in a boat going from like one place to another. So being on a journey together, being a team, needing that kind of that flow and communication within the group to get from that A to B location. And for me, I've been in a lot of crews through also being involved in things that Jocelyn's been hosting, but not always like I haven't really thought so much about like exactly what are we doing here and what's the structure and how is this set up. So there was something that was really helpful about just stepping back and saying like, hey, so yeah, how do we set up the crew? Oh, there's going to probably be like one caller who's putting an intention out there, who might be saying like this is my proposal in terms of how often we're going to meet and what might be the focus, and seeing if there's resonance with other people for that. And then the third session that I participated in, this was this opportunity to be in a little crew and practice checking in, having some kind of facilitated group support, group like peer-to-peer coaching, and then at the end a kind of a little checkout. And yeah, I think that was a really like lovely safe space for us to come together and try out our facilitation skills and receive direct feedback. And also in the focus of the exercises, also like building connection between us. Like one of the exercises was on giving feedback to each other on what's our presence. So yeah, overall the practice program itself was, I think, really, really helpful to just take a bit of a step back and think a bit more about, yeah, what is a crew, how do we set these up. And I think one of my takeaways is around like the role of the caller and intentionality. Because I think a couple of times in the past, I've had an idea for a crew and then I've shared it with somebody and they've said, like, oh, yeah, I kind of like that, but what about this idea? And actually, it's kind of got pulled out of shape from my original intention and probably doesn't quite match their intention as well. So I think there's something about being, you're looking for the resonance with other people, but really looking for enough resonance to really be in like integrity with what the original like wish or desire is. And I think one last reflection, I think it's just about like how profound it can be to be in a crew. And some of us who participated in the Micro Solidarity winter retreat came out of that feeling really like moved, and then moving back into the wider world and to having less like closeness and connection. And it was at that point that I really wanted to like call on my crews and be like, I'm needing you now. And also just like realize how profound it is to have a bunch of people in the world that really care about me and know me deeply, and that I know about them and care about them deeply. So yeah, I'm also just like championing crews for that potential for, yeah, deep connection, care, and belonging. That's me.
Ooh. Beautiful. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, I've made some notes to maybe like pop up again, like when we open up the space for more conversation. But maybe Jackson, you want to share your or your takeaways, insights, and reflections from the program. James, we're talking about the intermediate practice program which just happened, and just some sharings from that. Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, wonderful. I think Sarah spoke to quite a lot about how the structure of the practice program was, and what that meant. Also for me, I don't have much experience with creating crews. For me, what struck me so much is about just the not only the breadth of reasons, why people are calling a crew into life, but also clarifying the intention behind it. And not just the intention, but what sort of need it's coming from, and what one is sort of hoping to birth, what sort of vision one is approaching, and putting all of the depth and intention into that. And part of that comes out in terms of how you express that call to other people, and to really give people as much information as they can so that they can come and meet you. And that's, I think, a lot of where the magic of crewing can kind of take place. For me personally, not having led a crew myself or called a crew, for example, a lot of my question was like, where do I need a crew? And actually questioning a lot of the thoughts that I had about that. So for me, simply just this question of like, where do I need a crew is already a really interesting sort of thought process. But like I said, like Sarah said, a lot of what we were doing was sort of just trying on our like facilitator hats, right? And how it feels to put ourselves out there, and to deal with like the struggles around confidence and identity in that role. Yeah, so when Sarah's mentioning feedback, basically speaking to those points that we like are nervous about and that we struggle with as facilitators, which for me was great. I'm, for instance, in a sort of facilitator sort of role in my professional work, but also have like on the other side, like the need or desire for, like Sarah said, more consistent and present social structures around me. So having perhaps a crew in my personal life is an interesting sort of contrast to something that's more, yeah, something more focused or applied, whether that's in a community I'm living in or work or something like that. So that was interesting for me to kind of see those different angles. Yeah, because I have very different needs and ideas about how I show up with regards to all of those experiences, and that in turn shapes how I call a crew and to whom I extend that invite. So yeah, that was quite interesting for me, and it definitely l led to the desire to continue practicing. And I think Sarah and I are continuing with some other people to put on our facilitator hats and continue working on some of those ideas, because it was just like, four quick little infos, nudges into that, and I definitely, I think, for a number of people, sparked a desire to go deeper and to continue it and to follow through. Because even if you're in a lot of crews, maybe there's some missing piece, and I thought that was quite a wonderful part of it. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Jackson. Yeah, what strikes me through both of your shares is around like what's the intention and what becomes possible. Yeah, and like I really, yeah, just tacking on to like the intention for integrating after an experience, or maybe might be an intention just to have a space to be to experience care and like depth of being known on a regular basis. Also companionship, like Jackson, you said you're a facilitator in daily life anyway, but like have like, is there companionship at the level at which we are facilitating? Right, yeah. So I think something that came up in the program was also recognition of people being like, ah, oh, I'm someone who wants to be leading in this way, but I don't feel companionship with, I need companionship with it to have that, I think Jackson, you mentioned like the confidence to call a crew, the confidence to be vulnerable that maybe people don't want to join and you could get rejected, or maybe to clarify what you really want and to get sure about what it is because you value people's time and you feel responsible for calling people into an experience that you're holding. I remember those topics came up in the session as well, and it was really touching to hear what were people's fears around calling a crew, and also creating a loving space in the actual group to bring those into it. Yeah, I think you said, like, Sarah, you mentioned like a safe space. And I think that was another takeaway, like a crew as a safe space to practice something or to bring the parts of you that are feeling more vulnerable to be seen on a daily basis in a larger group or in a less held container. I think that sense of rhythm and regularity really supports that for me in the crews I'm part of. So thank you both for speaking to those experiences. And as I said, I'd love to open up the conversation to everyone else in the group. And it's very nice that we only have 7 people. So it's a large crew, but it's still big enough, I think, for us. I'm going to suggest we just stay in one group and have one shared conversation here. I also recognize I didn't make much time for a little check-in. So if you want to share how you're arriving as you start, feel free to also, if that helps you to land and bring yourself into the call, feel free to share how you're doing today as well. And Sarah Jackson, if you want to pop in with that as well, feel free. It's a little bit like higgledy-piggledy bring that in now, but better late than never. So yeah, opening the space for anyone who feels like sharing what's come up or from your own personal experiences or challenges or searching for possibilities right now.
Hey, I can jump in. My first micro solidarity call. So I'm just really curious to learn more. I was thinking about trying to join the intermediate practice session, but I saw it was recommended to join the beginner first. So I was like, oh, okay, I gotta try and join the beginner one. And was meaning to reach out to ask when the next beginner one is, but because I didn't see one on the calendar, but I look forward to hopefully getting some more opportunities to practice. I think I feel grateful to be in a position where my personal life and work life kind of mix, where I work for a DAO that does, we facilitate like co-living, co-housing experiences. And lately we've been launching a cohort program to help bring together different community builders. And it was a very dramatic pivot where like all of a sudden in a week, my boss was like, all right, you're going to run a cohort program and you're going to like train all these community builders how to build community. And yes, James, Cabin DAO. And so I was like, okay, sure. Like this will be fun. Like I can try my best, but I felt what Jackson talked about with a lot of, like kind of a lack of confidence, especially as I was like, I'm more on the eco village side and the immediate crew we started was more on the urban, community side. So I felt also like contextually less prepared. And it was just, normally I feel like a strong facilitator, but it was the first time in a while I've had this sense of like, you know, discomfort and fear and also like judgment of like, am I prepared to lead people through this experience? And it was a little bit alarming for me, but hearing other people share kind of, you know, that especially around the confidence, that I think, you know, with practice, good things can come. And luckily it was a safe space where I was able to be open with my lack of certainty around exactly what we're going to be doing. And it's been fun just to kind of jump into it, but I very much would love to learn more strategic approaches around crew forming, just to kind of feel more confident going into things versus learning on the fly and trusting my intuition. So very excited to tap into the experiences that y'all have been facilitating to learn more and see how I can contribute. Grateful to be here.
Thank you, Matai. Yeah, cool to have you with us with this, with Cabin DAO and your journey with that. We'd love to, yeah, if you're part of the Discord and want to continue sharing any updates or have questions there, it's also always available.
Oh, thank you. I haven't joined yet, but I will pop in.
Cool. Yeah. And of course, we have these calls as well. Yeah. On the topic of the intermediate program, we did indeed decide to make it a requirement to join the intro program first. And I just want to share, I think we're reflecting on actually that it's probably not so necessary. And so we might actually change that requirement. So in the future, it becomes more like, that's it. This is a program that's helpful for getting started with crewing or taking the next step with crewing. And the intro program, we'll rename it as like, just a good place to get what's the vibe about and experience the whole wholesome space. So yeah. Yeah, regret that you missed out on it this time because we decided to experiment with the requirement piece, but I think we learned that it's not so important as we thought. So yeah. But yeah, thank you for sharing. Yeah, great to have you with us. Anyone else want to speak up, share something?
Yeah, I can go next. Hi, my name is Sunes. I live here in Finland, Helsinki, and I'm part of the Microsolidarity Network since this meeting in Brussels, which kind of was really wonderful for me to learn about this, different scales of groups and kind of really like meet a lot of like-minded people. So like back then, they were really like the first time that I usually kind of, I meet usually people that either know about like nonviolent communication or internal family systems. And this was the first time where there were like about like, I think 28 out of the 30 participants like knew both.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like quite a wonderful shock to me. And and it's been like a big expansion ever since that moment. I've been like a lot of kind of searching in my life, like where are crews and diets already present, and also like kind of then being now lately especially a bit more creative with like how to use like crews and diets in a kind of smaller group organization. So we had like last year I did a first ever event called Sparks Camp. It's a queer feminist sex positive filmmaking event that ran over 10 days, first of its kind. And it was quite amazing because we had a very like small team to set that up, but we actually like decided to have a crew that would meet kind of regularly. So usually every 2 weeks and then closer to the event like weekly, but then we would work in diets. So we always had like small teams that were like specializing on different topics, and that they were like always working in diets. And that's something that I realized is really like helpful, like especially when it comes to work, because you can like, so like diets have the upside of like being just so more flexible, because you just can, especially when you're like meeting and collaborating online a lot, you know, like you can just always pop into like a chat and like chat with one person, and you're not like always like waiting for others to chime in, or it's not like this kind of like, it's a more direct conversation. And also like the decision making is still better than just having one person, because you always have like a second brain to like double check the mistakes that my single brain is doing. So that was like also like wonderful. And then you always come together in the bigger crews, and especially like this was like a new group of people, so none of them had experience with like decentralization or any kind of like of this like approaches to like organizing away from coercive power, do this or else kind of decision making. So that's always like an uphill battle, but this is something that I've been like a really excited, like starting since maybe like 6-7 years, a couple of like organizations, one research group, one event space, and learning a lot through the process. So, and it's been always like so interesting, like how much we are just generally by just existing in this world kind of, that people are generally like kind of very much like, doesn't matter from what background, but really primed around kind of like violence in decision making, like just that is like the default, and then kind of like there's a lot of kind of like question marks and around like kind of like, okay, what other way of doing this, and what is this, and like why are you not the authority person if you're like a coordinator, and why don't I have to apologize to you if I come late, and why is that an issue? So very interesting, and so like making this like tensions kind of a bit more smoother around like onboarding and so on is something that I really like see happening, and it gives me so much joy because people like start to like then explore it more on their own and be like kind of like, oh, I just learned about like mutual aid, and then they're like kind of going down this rabbit hole, and that rabbit hole is a bit that really like it's a lot of joy in my heart. So I always was like kind of more like wanting like the intention why I came to Belgium, that first Microsoft Solidarity meeting I went to was about having more crews and kind of like kind of this general sense of loneliness and wanting to feel more connected with people. And now I've been like doing a lot of like therapy, so a lot of self work, and then a lot of diet work, and so I feel like these crews are anyway like kind of like emerging on their own, and that's something that I'm really like appreciating, that there's not so much effort like associated with that, but it's like something that's already there, and so like kind of like slowly like advancing on the scales in a way is something that I very much enjoy. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. Wow, so much in there, what you shared, Sunus. Yeah, like you circled it back around to this question that you have of where are crews emerging naturally around you. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like how you experience it. If I could ask a question, or like, because one way of forming a crew is like you pull a bunch of people together, and then you decide at the beginning how we're going to do our culture, how we're going to be together, how often shall we meet, who should how shall we rotate facilitation, how long shall we meet for, what do we want to do with our time, any other little rituals that we want to create, like a check-in and a check-out, or symbolic or gestural, a candle or a space. But if you have already a group and you're like, ah, this is actually kind of a crew, we just haven't named it as such, is that kind of how you're going about it? And if so, like, what did you introduce, or how did you create a shift to become more intentional about we're now a crew, we're not just like six people who happen to be on a team together, but we're a crew, you know what I mean?
Thank you for the question. I think this is really excellent. Because
Yeah.
this is exactly the point that I'm realizing more and more. It just takes a long, long time for people to like really internalize this. Like people might understand it like superficially, or they might have like an idea of something, but it's always like we come together in a crew to do something else. So usually it's not kind of like we come together in a crew to learn micro solidarity. That's kind of like the very, very edge cases, you know. But usually it's kind of like, yeah, we're creating this event, or we're creating this community, or we're creating this and this. And then it's like, oh, but like maybe we should organize in this way, you know. But it's like you're doing two things at the same time that you're learning, and there's new for everyone. So in a sense, like, and most people, like, they're not really like, it's all about agencies. It's like kind of like something that, okay, if you have a like a significant amount of people in the project or the crew already who are like excited about this, great, you don't have this issue. But like most of the times in my experience, it's like this, that people, for them it's an afterthought, you know. They just go in there, and there's like kind of like nobody's like really thinking that much, at least in my environment, like about like, okay, how do we organize, or how do we use power. Like there's a lot of thought about like care and care labor, at least in those areas where I'm around, and shared care labor, but not so much about power and power use and so on. So like I just realized that the best approach for me was always to head with like very soft, and also like this is something that I learned in a couple of years ago, kind of moving in with like three guys who are like kind of more from a like bicycle punk anarchist background, and they were very much like they had a very interesting culture at home, let's say. So like very I don't want to comment, but I was like really coming there as a new person, and then I wanted to just like learn how they're doing things and really like kind of respect that way, because I wanted to learn from them. And so then kind of like just making little like adjustments and little lecture suggestions. And most of them like were experiences that didn't like catch on. But over time, you know, for example, I realized that one of the main things I wanted to bring in any community or any place is the check-in. Just having like in my home like a weekly check-in where people like just have can ramble over like some time, like, and it's like it's a bit awkward, it's a bit structured, but after a while I see like that conflicts are just so much going down when you're like living together in a community and you have this weekly like regular check-in. And so that's like a really excellent tool, and that's for me that's the kind of the starting point. But I guess for everyone that's something else. Like, what's your one thing that you want to bring to everything you're from micro solidarity or whatever other practice? And then the next thing is just to like be patient and kind of like try and suggest, like suggesting different things really like worked for me, like that I would just be like, okay, like, hey, how about let's do it like this? And then people are like mostly like they don't know what they're getting into, so they're just agreeing to things, and then they're like kind of like, okay. So for example, for the last team, it took them I think like six no four six, four five I think something around 5 months before they made their first suggestion to change things, even though it was written everywhere like anything is negotiable, we can change all the rules, these are just like approximations to make the things flow. And I was explaining this several times, but the first time that they were saying it was really like this big thing for them. We're like, okay, this like thing that we're like always like reading through the minutes, it doesn't really work, can we just like have a moment of silence and everybody reads it on their own? That would be so great. And it was almost like they're like expecting me to push back, and I was like, wonderful, thank you so much, I'm so excited. They were like, really? Okay. So yeah, that's just
That's so great. I love that, the right reminder. It can just take time. And also that you celebrated when it did happen. Like encouraging and celebrating people stepping into like leaderfulness. I totally appreciate that you're mentioning like this cultural shift of like, what, there's no one to apologize to that when I'm like late, or like, or if I haven't done it on time, it's like feedback and reflection, self-reflection or something, instead of apologizing. Like these cultural shifts that, yeah, I think as maybe what comes to me when you're speaking is like our role as like a leader or a role model of this is actually just as much like celebrating and like helping people feel comfortable with trying something different, and seeing that those behaviors and that those different cultural norms, and being like, yeah, cool, yeah. Nice. Sweet, so good, Sinus. Thank you for sharing a bit more. And I loved your thing around, I was just, what's one thing you want to take from micro solidarity that you want to try everywhere? You know, like check in. It's such an easy thing to just try out. It might feel awkward at the beginning, but just trying to check in, trying to check out, whatever it might be. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? What else is bubbling? Maybe Ewan or James?
I don't know, crewing seems also to me seems difficult to initiate and start. It seems like it's for me it's been easier to just let it arise, so see how it arises naturally in a certain context and who feels drawn to a particular thing. But as opposed to trying to like say let's do a crew, like it's easier I think if there's a particular project that needs to be done or something needs to be done, and then sort of a crew can arise that has a clear purpose around it. But I don't know, I'd like to be more initiate more rather than just wait for this emergent thing, I think. So that's my edge to sort of my edge is to put some structure on something which otherwise might not emerge, or people might be waiting to see who else is going to take the initiative instead of knowing, being given a purpose and something to do, or like co-creating some sort of purpose. So I don't know, I'm still wondering about that, about how to do that. What is special about this kind of micro solidarity crewing versus other just people saying, let's just do something together, you know? So yeah, there's a yeah. And the difficult part of for me also seems to be like when there's negative feedback to there's like a crew and two people and have a problem with the third person, and it's just really awkward because it's especially, let's say, the third person just doesn't seem to get feedback, and then or like there's a subtle feedback that doesn't get through, and then like then it's like making an intervention can be make something a lot more uncomfortable. So there's a sort of balance between like you just kind of go through without bringing things to the surface, or do you make a big mess and hope that something's that there's enough capacity to hold afterwards. So those are the kind of things that I'm wondering about.
Yeah. Surfacing this topic of what happens when there's conflict in a crew.
Yeah.
And feedback. Yeah. I'm curious. I also love this topic. You said, like, what's the difference between micro-solidarity and just doing something together? Do you have a sense, like, if, yeah, I'm curious what your sense of that is, if I can reflect the question back onto you.
I guess I don't know yet. I'd like to figure that out. I think maybe, I mean, there's a more of a, because there's more of a commitment to something, but I don't know how to phrase what is the extra commitment that you're, the extra openness that you need to have a micro solidarity kind of crew rather than just like, let's do something together. Because it could be like, is it like an agile scrum, mini scrum agile kind of thing where you do have some structure with like retrospectives and stuff, or, you know, or if it's more than that, what is it? What's the openness? What's the psychological or spiritual openness that's required, and how do you set it up from the beginning without turning people off? Otherwise, I think like people can jump into projects, especially if people jump into projects without having a clue or much experience in that project, it can be sort of hard because they don't know, you know, that those people don't know how to do the thing, and then it's gonna, how you can figure out along the way how, you know, that there's gonna be conflicts and obstacles, and then you need something, some special ingredient to be able to get through those things. So I don't know what that is.
Ingredient X or ingredient MS, micro solidarity. It's good questions. I mean, it's kind of similar to I think what Sinas was sharing with that topic there, like how do you turn a group into a crew? And like, I think there's something around an intentionality. This word's been used a few times in this space now in this conversation, like what's the intention of the crew? I also heard something around, or from my, yeah, the that it's not just so much about doing something together, but it's the how are we doing something together and how are we reflecting on what we're doing together. So yeah, there's what you've mentioned, Ewan, about feedback not getting through. It's, yeah, I wonder, I have a sense there's something important in feedback, and like often in a crew we end it with a retrospective, or we do a cycle of a crew. It's not an ongoing thing. It's like maybe we do 6 times meeting and then we reflect, how have we been together? Like, did we meet the goals, or is it the intention that we're coming together for? How's that going? Is it still working? How do we want to continue? Yeah, it's like somehow embedding feedback and reflection within the culture of the team is something that for me stands out as like a, something slightly different than let's just do something, or let's, yeah, like it's not just doing, it's the reflection of how we're doing it together. I'm curious if there are other, if anyone else wants to speak to their answer as well, or their reflections on this, any of these topics around feedback in a crew, conflict in a crew, or what makes a crew different than just a group of people hanging out or a group of people just doing something.
Yeah, I'll jump in and kind of weave the stuff that's alive, even in a, from a check-in kind of sense, right into this topic. Because, yeah, the words I would go for would be intentionality and self-awareness. So those make all the difference between kind of an unconscious grouping that is doing its thing, but then doesn't have the meta level self-awareness as a collective to see itself and to steer itself on its own path towards whatever it cares about and values, mm-hmm. or whatever the goal or orientation of the group is. I came to this call late. My check-in is in part because I just finished, teaching the last class of an online course called Relational Agility that points right at that thing of like, oh, okay, how do you do in a crew, in a workplace? The course was about, at work and in the workplace, but just like in any context, how do you do relating and mm-hmm. conflict and the bringing the same kind of self-awareness and intentionality to how you show up in your interactions with other folks. And so I'm chock full of, I won't go on a big lecture about, relational skills and the noticing and welcoming moves that go along with it. But it's a practice. And you can, in a crew, you can simultaneously practice the way that you want to be with each other and practice the skills of, hey, a check-in is, we're just going to sit here and we're going to practice noticing what is alive for us. Mm. And similarly, you can practice like, hey, are there any holdbacks? Are there any tensions? And like, is it okay to name those things and bring them out? And you can practice the skill of not making it an intervention or a, conflict or a come to Jesus kind of like confrontational kind of thing. But you can practice the same-sidedness and you can practice the way of being with each other in that spacious okayness of, yeah, this is what the container is for. And it's all right to bring this up and just to bring anything in, and we can all handle it and we're all on the same side. And so anyways, I'm full of that, that's where I'm coming in from today, and tying that back to the intentionality and the self-awareness that whether you call it micro-solidarity or not, you could say the same things about Agile. You're in a reference to Agile, and you can do Agile in an unconscious way of somebody hands you the script of here are these meetings to do, and here's what you say at these meetings, and you can follow the script, and you can kind of still miss it. You can miss the individual and the collective self-awareness that really is at the heart there. It's the heart of Agile. It's the heart of micro-solidarity. It's the heart of intentional society and other groups that are trying to be intentional about relating. I'll be done there. I could go off into a whole different topic, but I won't for now.
Thanks so much, James. It's a beautiful synchronicity of you just flowing in from your relational agility course and intentionality and self-awareness.
I like the part about self-awareness because I think that's crucial. And also, like, a lot of group are self-delusional rather than self-aware. So, it was like, how do you get a group where there's a lot of sort of delusion going on to be more self-aware about stuff? It's like, if you see the stuff that it's going to, if I see, okay, this is going to come up, people are not ready for it, or people are like bullshitting themselves about, because they can, because there's no reality check built in or something. So like, I don't know how to do that part. Like, okay, without just being annoying and like a party pooper or something. Like, okay, there's a certain amount of like, I don't know how to get people from awareness to self-awareness, or myself. You know, I mean, if I know how to model to other people that I'm ready to receive bad, difficult feedback, but I don't know how to have that happen in a group where it's not happening. So, yeah.
I was just gonna come in on an example where I was in a crew with a lot of conflict. There was a sense from one member in the crew to another that there'd been like a boundary transgression. And yeah, there was a lot of group process around this, and actually we also like brought in additional support as well from the facilitators, and it was like very messy. And at some points I was like I'm throwing in the towel, I'm done with this person, like they're so unself-aware, and like really like touching on issues that feel very close to my heart. And then it was also a really good but annoying opportunity to then kind of yeah do the U-turn and look at myself and think about like yeah what's going on for me here, and how in this little microcosm of this crew can I see the patterns that I and like we as a society are reinforcing, where it's like okay, I want to exile this person because of the way that they're showing up and their beliefs, but is there a different way that I can show up here? And it definitely wasn't messy. Sorry, it definitely wasn't clean, and it definitely didn't kind of wrap up with a nice bow. But it was a very powerful learning opportunity. And yeah, kind of looking at myself and seeing my own patterns of like distance and avoidance, and actually how can I step more into dealing with conflict when it arises. So ultimately, it was a learning experience, a painful one at points.
Thanks, Sarah. This something comes to me around this, like there's one thing to model giving feedback to someone, but there's another thing to model self-reflection and self-awareness. And it makes me think of in a recent feedback training I gave, I was sharing like the Pendleton process, which is actually the first step of giving feedback. And the Pendleton feedback model is you start with your own self-reflection. You share with your group like, what's something I think I did well, what's something I think I could improve or didn't do so well, and what's my learning edge and that I want to practice. And then the others fill in. And I think there's something like that that without wanting to go too much into advice mode, but it's just like I'm like this is so important as well to like role model how we can reflect upon our own self and do that U-turn that you were speaking to, Sarah. Like, I think there's what I appreciate about micro solidarity is it's not about one practice, or we'll all do NVC or IFS is micro solidarity, but there are so many practices that help with this, like Byron Katie's Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, where it helps guide you through like, is it really true what I'm thinking about that person? Where is it true? Where is it true about me? Doing that U-turn, a really powerful practice, and the Pendleton feedback process. I encourage each other that if there's any practices we find useful for doing this work of like understanding how are we together and doing the self-awareness piece, to continue sharing these practices with one another. Yeah, those are some things that came up for me when I was listening to you, Ewan and Sarah. Yeah. And the meta-reflection practice that we did in the intermediate program, it also keeps coming to my mind. We did it in session two. So I think, Sarah, you missed it, but Jackson, you were there where we looked at, like James, you were saying, how does the, like, practicing the skills of getting a group to see and steer itself? Yeah. We really looked from a meta level of like, how are we all doing together? And how is the dance from the balcony up and down, looking onto the dance floor? Yeah. So many practices out there. We just need to do them. Jackson?
Yeah, I think that was one of the most alive moments of the intermediate practice program for me, was hearing how other people perceive what it was that was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something I think that is definitely super alive for me, is just providing opportunities to validate someone else's perception, or to have my perception validated. I really related to James as well about the professional applications of this working, for example, in a development team. That's where I'm at right now. I'm starting a new job in a couple weeks, where there's a lot of opportunity to lead and to create, where that's being welcomed. And I have to put on my facilitator hat and also see where other people are in their processes of receiving feedback and participate in a culture where it exists, but to a certain extent. So there's always a wonderful tension, between I think that recalls where Jonas brought up in the intermediate program, like this tension between where we're at now and where it is that we want to go, and how it is we see that, how we build consensus around what kind of vision we have for our group, right? Because it's a process, right? And I think ultimately that's a lot of what for being in a crew, why it is unique and relevant is having this kind of, obviously there's lots of reason to having a kind of more confined scope of a crew, but also having something that's long-term and has that kind of stability to sort of lead into all of the possible emergences that happen. I think about it in terms of like studying, I don't know. I come from a background studying globalization and public health, and there's lots of dialogue in this space about how you embrace complexity, right? And operating in a framework where there's infinite sort of challenges and complexity to developing a health innovation or being in a group of people or delivering a project result, and having a framework where you can allow for whatever it is to come into play is useful all over the place. And to me, that's what a lot of the crew experience kind of boils down to, is how can we embrace complexity? How can we embrace, whether that's different parts of us or tough feelings or resentment that comes up or all of this, there's so much that can happen. And hopefully when we're crewing well, we're making space for that, and that those unknown or unseen areas can be massaged gently, brought into alignment with other people. Yeah, I really feeling it.
Feel you feeling it. Thank you, Jackson. I'm also noticing, Sarah, your prompt in the chat for us, which is, let me read it out, is, what are we observing about our group in this call? And I find that really sweet, actually, because I think it's great to talk about these things also, as it's all about practicing it as well. And I thought that might be a nice segue into a gradual sort of, not exactly checkout, but like pre-checkout, you know, so coming towards the harvest of our call, as well as practicing something, because something I like very much about the meta-reflection practice, which we did in the practice program just now, was that it's just a very practical skill to do at the end of a meeting, just reflecting on what did we notice about the quality of connections that we had in our call today? How have we been relating? And is there something that we appreciate, and there's something we want to, or something we want to try differently next time. I would like to check if there's any more burning shares first, but then I would like to invite us into a bit of a journaling and self-reflection, or like just to take some time for ourselves to tune in with like, what have we each noticed? And then maybe do a sharing round of that before we clock off the call. How does that sound to everyone? Yeah, thanks, fine. Good practice, cool. So yeah, first, were there any, James, you got to drop off early. Okay, pity. Any other shares before we go into some reflection? Upon anything that's been said or, no? Okay. Then let's take out pen and paper or find a digital notepad on your computer somewhere. How about we take 3 minutes? I already have somewhat of a question formulated here. Like, what did you notice about the quality of connections we had today in our group? And then the second part is, what did you appreciate? And anything you'd like us to do differently next time? Maybe 4 minutes is nice for this. And I'll check at the end if anyone needs an extra minute to feel complete. Yeah? Alrighty. Cool. So we had 5 minutes or so to just reflect on our own. I'd love to kick off a sharing round. What did we notice to practice our noticing skills about our group connection? And anything that you'd like to try differently next time?
I noticed I was a little, I had just woken up slightly before this call started, and I had kind of slept through my alarm and I wasn't on my full schedule. So my mind is racing around to all these to-dos, and I noticed myself like continually like peeking over at messages coming in and a little distracted, where I wanted to be more present. And I was a little, I was kind of, you know, listening, but I wasn't fully always visually engaged. And I was a little worried. I was like, I hope people don't think I'm rude or in some sense, but I also felt like, you know, this was a safe space to be just to learn in. And I didn't feel like it's, you know, different from like some paid consulting meeting where I'm supposed to be fully present. So next time I would like to be in a space where I'm less distracted. And I think that just comes with more preparation. I really appreciated how quickly it felt great to connect with everyone. And I think that was even like just from everyone else's visual attention felt that right away. Mm-hmm. And I think like the intentionality of everyone coming in here and the self-awareness of us all like wanting to grow in the areas of micro solidarity, not only in what that means in a box, but all the other things around it. And I really enjoyed learning about different resources and people's, you know, what other people had challenges with and what opportunities people saw. So I'm very excited to continue on this learning journey with you all.
Thanks so much, Matai. Yeah. Resonates. Jackson?
Yeah. What struck out to me is this very potent individuality, where people in the groups have, I think, quite an intense, deep diversity of experiences in which they're encountering a lot of these principles. And I felt like, wow, like there's all of this, these engagements and, you know, different sorts of perceptions of the challenges that we're working on, that we're encountering, the projects, the applications, what we're doing. People are quite aware of like their strengths and their growth areas. My next response was like, but how is it going? Like, are y'all doing well? Like, how is your health? How are your heads? How's your money? Like, what's going on? How's your people? And I was just wondering about that because y'all look so wonderful and sound very wonderful. And I wonder about just like, hey, how's it going? And I think on one hand, that's like a very, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's valid and I want to give some empathy to myself for having that question. But also I notice myself, like, I wonder if I'm kind of in this process of like pushing sort of the boundaries of like, is this a problem that micro solidarity is capable to solve? Is this the right place for that? And I'm finding myself asking myself that question a lot. Like, I noticed as well, like these different sorts of impulses that I have to lead or to fix other people or to share closeness and create intimacy and this kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious about like generally where the next steps are, right? I think for micro solidarity as a whole, I've noticed that in most of the spaces that I've been in, it's like, wow, there are all these people with all this very potent information and knowledge and we could do a lot of things, but there's a tendency to grab what's right in front of us and to seize the space that's right in front of us. And I'd be very curious to see like, okay, what kind of vision can we generate? What sort of outcomes are possible? And I think about then a conversation that I had with Rich. I don't know how many of y'all know him, but someone who's involved in sort of shaping the direction of this project and network. And he asks, you know, sort of like, yeah, what does the next iteration of this movement, this organization look like, in a very sort of intentional sort of way? And how can we embrace the various possibilities that are there? And more curiously, what are we capable of? And that's a very fun and alive question for me right now. Yeah. I've very much enjoyed the prompt, Sarah. Thank you for that. And thank you, Jocelyn, for massaging it into what you have there.
Thanks, Jackson.
Yeah, I can continue from there, because I feel like that's something that also like resonates deeply in me. What I wrote for like anything you'd like to do differently next time, and that's something that I felt like recently. I was thinking like that I had a really hard time like connecting for a long while in the Micro Solidarity Discord server. So I was like not catching up on conversations, and then recently I had like a spurt and I was like catching up on everything. And now I felt like there's nothing, not so much happening actually there. Like I was like more like, there's like Borderland has a Discord server, the Borderland land has a Discord server. And I'm like more like, okay, like they're interacting with different groups and it's really fun. And I was wondering, like, especially like around this meeting, like if you could focus around a shared goal, like it doesn't have to be material, but also like could be ephemeral, or something else that would focus the discussion like a tiny bit more. In general, like I love chatting about these topics, and I'm really grateful for like all the insights that I'm getting, and the sharing and the sense of connection. But at some point, I felt like the conversation like turned a bit meta, like I like that it was like a bit more like a general like opinion like level, and that's always like interesting, like how to bring it then back to the like to the self and the diet, and to kind of like connect like outwards in this web. And then especially when it came to like what you shared just now, Jackson, I think like especially I think this is a very valid concern, and I think it's a very valid thing of like improving the connections that we have actually like between each other, like in the network, kind of like if there is a sense of mutual care or mutual aid, you know, like that it is in a sense already like that, because I get so much out of this like meetings and out of the network existing in general, just of like kind of like not feeling so lonely, you know. And then what I appreciated was, yeah, this sense of connection and sharing, and the time went by really quickly, and this smaller group of people felt really like intimate and comfortable quite quickly, and I felt a lot of ease in sharing and being present, which is not so usual for me. And like calm, and yeah, really it's a benefit of the small group size, and what I feel like growing is in a sense like also all about, you know. Thank you so much, Bjorn.
Thank you, Sinis. Sarah, you wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, I think just in a way also just jumping on the last two shares as well, also yeah, touched something in me. But yeah, firstly, just the question, so what did I appreciate? I really appreciated how I had a sense that we were all like sensing into giving fair share and space for everybody. So that meant that all of our voices had a chance to come in and give space for everybody's rich input. So that's something that I, yeah, really, really appreciate. And what did I notice about the quality of the connections we had today? So kind of based on what Jackson said, I'm distilling that a bit that, yeah, it felt like we've been in quite a heady connection and less so of the heart connection. And interestingly, as you say that, Jackson, and yeah, it feels like more and more kind of opening up the heart space. And I just put that, yeah, so I don't have a full read on the relationships in this group, but my sense is that most of us don't know each other so well. So for me, that might also be a bit more why, like being in the head than the heart, it can be a bit of a, like a safer space. And Yeah, still actually at the size of a crew online, and when I don't know people, I can find it a bit hard to feel like I'm being articulate. So sometimes, yeah, it's still a bit like, am I being clear? And equally, like listening to other people as well, it's sometimes hard to like really distill what's being said. And I think that's why I also appreciated Jocelyn, your facilitation of, yeah, really like listening deeply and like and pulling out the points. Yeah, and I noticed because we did connect at this crew level, there was still some curiosity to connect at the dyad level as well. Like Matai, I really liked your energy coming in here like for the first time and sharing, and it sounds like you're involved in some really cool stuff. So it's like, ooh, what's happening there? I want to know some more. So yeah, just really appreciative of the call, and next time. Yeah, I think I would invite moving into like dyads, even if just for like a one round for a few minutes or something, just to have that yeah, that closer connection, and maybe even just bringing up like a really simple like Jamboard to just like put some ideas down there, so we can also kind of see what we're creating. Yeah, I'm really grateful for the call, and thanks for convening us, Jocelyn.
Thanks, Sarah. I could share reflection next. And yeah, I really enjoy what I've heard so far, and what I was writing down was very similar. I noticed like a sense of like ease of like following a common thread together. Like there wasn't like felt like everyone was sort of willing to be tuning in with like, okay, what's the topic? And no one was like bringing it completely somewhere else. It's like, so it gave me the idea that we're all keen to have a shared topic, or shared exploration around the topic. Yeah, our conversation, maybe because of the nature of like how I was sort of the person, I found myself become stepping into this like the person to reflect back after each person shared. So I noticed sometimes a bit of discomfort, like, how is this for everyone? That I'm like, what's this doing? That I'm like the person that it keeps coming back to. So it's very nice to hear you say, yeah, boo. It was helpful to hear you say, Sarah, that it was helpful, and to see, seen as you also say, like, yeah, doing this, which was another thing I noticed, like, oh, we sort of just habitually, I guess I role modeled like resonance, and I saw Jackson doing it too, like hand signatures, which are kind of part of some of our group culture, but I wasn't sure how much of the whole group here uses these like twinkle fingers to show resonance. But yeah, I found myself being that central person to reflect back what was being said, and felt like being the weaver. And I was curious what would have happened if I let the conversation more just flow like one after the other. Maybe it would have been a bit less meta and more like responding individually to different people. And yeah, I think how I did that also created a sense of, oh, everyone's going to get a turn to speak. And I noticed everybody did speak at least once. Yeah. And I think it was funny because I after we started, I was like, how could I have forgotten to do a check-in and like invite a check-in? And but it was a really great opportunity for me to notice what happens when that isn't there, because I'm so used to just doing it and happening. And then it came up as one of the easy sort of ways to start a to create a sort of intentional crewing atmosphere, and intentionality. I think because I know almost all of you quite well, I felt at ease, and I know you all, but I have to remember that not everybody knows each other, and maybe it's helpful to get a sense of what are the energies in this room. So I'm aware that maybe that's something that could have created more cohesion if it was there than the fact that it wasn't. Before we started. And I think what was going on is I was a little bit in a rush, arriving, and a little bit like flying off the seat of my pants with the session planned today, which I also did intentionally to see what would happen when I don't plan. So yeah, when I don't plan, sometimes I forget things. And yeah. I guess that's, yeah, I also really resonate with like a would like to have more of like more dyady, more like heart connection. And I also recognize I can really geek out on the meta level, so maybe that's the result of my individual persona hosting a space that it can get a bit like meta and which I like about myself. And I also really love to make sure that there's times for all the different ways of relating and sharing. Yeah, that's me. How about you, Ewan?
I was also felt distracted a bit this time, and I often feel distracted in general. And I also, when I thought about it, I realized like I came with a bit of a mood that was not as cheerful and positive or something. Because I ended up asking all these questions that had a slightly negative mood to them. So I was wondering about that. So I think that my connection level was impacted by that, was somehow having that mood about like finding all the ways in which things don't work or break down in crews or teams or but it's nice to have this round at the end where I do feel more connected. And so I think that the dyad time is good to have, or groups of three or something. And it's nice to just show up every month or regardless of what mood I'm in and just see what happens and see people over time. So I think I feel good about that.
Mm.
I think that's it. Don't have anything else. But I like practical stuff, so I can get very meta, but then I like practical stuff as well. So just finding something to focus on that's specific, that's good. Yeah, and yeah, I'd love to engage more on Discord. I tried a few times last year and then I forgot, but I could put more stuff on Discord and just see how people engage with it. You know, because we have channels for different projects. It's nice to keep track of people's projects and channels. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Ewan. Yeah, I would love to read from any of you all. Cool. That was a lovely check-up.
It was really nice to see Matai, because we've been talking about this on and off for a while. So.
Yeah. Yeah, great to have you here, Matai.
Thanks for the introduction and warm welcome, everyone.
Sweet. Well, we'll wrap up a little bit early today, 5 minutes before the hour. But yeah, really enjoyed this session. And yeah, a lot of great juice from our conversation. And for all of you guys here and anyone else who's listening, I just want to keep extending the invitation. If you want to host a session, like the next network call or any of the following ones, just send me an email at microsolidarity@gmail.com, or get in touch with me personally or however you can. And I'd be happy to help you by standing beside you or standing behind you to host a session that feels connected to you and something that you'd like to see in the network. So as for example, I hear a lot of calls for more mutual support, more getting to know what each other's doing, more just like having a sense of companionship with people in the network. So if you're like, hey, I'd like to try something out, I hope this feels like a space that's safe to try a facilitation move. You could do it with me, we hold it together, or you could try even with someone else and I'm really in the background and the two of you do it. I trust that we'll all learn from whatever happens. And I'm even designing in that the last 10 minutes of anyone facilitating, we could do like a little meta reflection of, first you could reflect on how you think it went, and then we could share what we noticed and appreciated about what you did, because it's all about learning together how we can host and maintain these wholesome spaces within our network and also with the networks that we're part of outside of MicroSolidarity. So that's my invitation. Yeah. Until next time. Yeah. Feel free to unmute yourself and say bye, and or stick around for a few minutes if you like. But yeah.
Thanks, Jocelyn. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Quality. Ciao, everyone.
Ciao.